Class to seven, you.
You tell me, am I live already?
Damn, put your mic.
All right.
That one over there.
Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. Hakol Havarim Israel. Ahmed Kazak, stand strong. I know you're going through a lot over there, but God is with you. And we are going to get started with our Bible study today. I'm trying to turn my phone off because you never know. Yeah, you just never know. Okay. So, it's just me, Pastor Ben, and the wonderful Miss Abigail. You remember Abigail, you guys, the one who got baptized in Hawaii and came up like this. So, I hope you all have your Bible studies tonight.
They were sent out and they're on Facebook.
Hallelujah, and they're on Facebook. So you can look at the Bible study as we go through it. I'm going to try to stick with the Bible study pretty much step by step. I may have to divert a little bit. If I do, I will let you know. I do want to acknowledge some cards. I just love you guys for, because I am so bad. But I think people who take the time to send someone a card are awesome people. Now, look at this. I'm going to have to put my glasses on, Pastor Ben. Look at this beautiful family.
Aren't they beautiful?
Wow. May the Lord bless you. Love the eatings, and it is, or idings, your Apple Valley, California family. They live in Apple Valley.
That's where your brother lives.
I know my brother lives there. When I come out there, I'm going to call you guys. I'm coming out to Apple Valley. I was going to say it's not that long of a drive. It is. A big thanks for you for sharing the Bible and the Hebrew knowledge with the world. I have learned more from you and Pastor Ben this past year than I have the last 3 years in a local church. Ooh, I love this card. Okay, I'm not going to read. You got to put their picture on TV though. Look, put that on the thing, Pastor Ben. Make sure people can see it.
Beautiful family. Look at
that. Yeah. And I believe they're the ones that sent me this, right? That's Rick and I'm going to go on a thing and say Milani, but it may be Malane, but I think it looks like Milani. It's M-E-L-A-N-I-E and Rick. Huh? Melanie, yep, that's what it is.
Ooh,
see?
You really messed up.
No, Melanie.
Wow.
Melanie.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, so
all right,
so
thank you. The wisdom of a woman. And thank you so much. I'll be able to read the card tomorrow. And let me see who else name I can completely tear apart. Let's see, who is this from? Change. Oh, this is from Colette Yankowicz. I think that's how they say the last name. And she always sends me really cool stuff from Israel. I wanted to show you guys something. Thank you, Pastor Ben, for your wonderful contagious laugh. She says, "You, Pastor Sandy, thank you for your thoughtfulness and the Spirit brings God's word through your continuous his treasure with us and thank you. Love in Jesus Christ our Lord, Colette." And I gotta show you, man, Colette sent me some really cool stuff. What I do with it all, Pastor Ben?
Oh,
is it here? Oh, this might be it. Yeah. Now watch this. Don't worry, we're getting a Bible study for all you people out there. Okay, so I got this David thing. But I have this book in English, Esther in English and in Hebrew. And then I got this Star of David, which is going to go good on my fireplace. Because I got the other thing, the Star of David. and a map of the crossing of the Reed Sea or Red Sea. And I showed this already, the eating sea. And then, let's see. I might have to do a lot of this tomorrow so we can get in our Bible study. But Kathleen Whitmore sent me a beautiful card, which I'm going to read tomorrow at a Hebrew class. And that's the beautiful card she sent me, Pastor Ben. And I'm going to read it tomorrow. And Mary Stibri from Linwood, Washington. Thank you for this beautiful card. And she has a note inside there as well. Wow, that looks like a good card. I'm going to read that tomorrow in Hebrew class. And she sent me this here. This is short, so let's see. Hello, Pastor Sandy, my friend. May introduce me to you. I really enjoy your videos and you enclose. Blah, blah, blah. God bless you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. Okay, and oh, this is from Judy Kress, and she sent me this card with a picture of me and you on the front. See that? That's pretty cool, Judy Kress. Thank you. And I'm gonna have to read them tomorrow, you guys. I got a heavy Bible study tonight, and I want to make sure that I get through it. And this is from Walt and Renee. Wow, Pastor Ben. And they're from Eagle River, Arkansas. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for this beautiful card. You see that, Pastor Ben?
That is beautiful.
I'm going to have to make me another board, man. I am enjoying. All right, Pastor Ben.
Right.
Your notes and everything. And I think I showed almost everything. And the pens, I got everything. I shared the pen. Somebody sent me 2 Israel America pens.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, are we ready to get started?
Yes.
All right. Pastor Ben has already prayed me in. And I want to thank you guys for joining us wherever you're at in the world tonight. And we want to talk about a very important matter. Tonight's title is called Raptured from the Depopulation Plan. And we all know what's going on in the world. We don't need to talk about it because they'll beat me up if I don't, if I do talk about it. So, but we know that there's a depopulation plan going on in the world today. But I just want you to know, if you receive notes from me, I did place a link on here where you can get all of the information concerning to exercise the St. Peter respiratory, acute respiratory disease, the new one that is that they have documented and are doing an exercise called SPARS. So you guys, please, on your documents that I sent you, please go and look at that information. You can documentation, and also you can look at the video as they explain to you what the second half of this planned depopulation thing that they're doing, what is going on. So just look at your notes and you'll be able to find all that information. I'm praying that you guys not only go and you look at it, but that you also share it with as many people as possible, because our enemy is very serious about destroying God's creation. And I want you to know that this is a serious fight and a serious war, and we need to take it serious and be ready to fight in the way that we do, on our knees, praying and helping each other, and praying for the blessed hope, because some people have seemed to think, oh my goodness, the rapture didn't happen. We got to prepare ourselves for the next. You don't have to prepare yourself for anything. We got the wheat harvest coming up, and we have the 17th of the second month is coming up. So both those dates are very strong. And especially with what's going on in the world, this is really strong, considering, first of all, the fact that how much trouble is going on right now in the world, that this is something that the Lord is watching and the Lord is knowing, and we have to understand that it is our turn, and our turn is the harvest season of the wheat. So we're looking forward to it, but I wanted to express to you guys another reason why this is our season, because the prophecy that Jesus Christ gave, saying that this generation shall not pass until all these things happen, okay? So I was reading the book of Revelation today, and I realized that there are some angels that are locked up in the valleys or in the depths of the Euphrates, and that God commanded the archangel to lock these angels up until Judgment Day. And he gave them a specific time of how long they would be locked up. So I went into a big study about that to see, okay, if the time that they're being released is the same time as the end of the tribulation. And miraculously, it is the same time of the release of the angels that were locked up, because if we'll read it, we'll go on Enoch and read about that they were locked up, and he told them how long to lock them up. And so what I needed to find out, when was this decree made to lock them up? Because he said, lock them up for 70 generations. And then we'll go over that whole thing, why 70 generations, okay? I want us to first of all understand how important the 70-year generation is, okay? Up until the nation of Israel, 70 generations was just 70 generations. And when God said 70 generations, or when God said 70 years, it was 70 years. And up until the Israel, who is, because of their disobedience and pride, their generation is ending in 80 years. And so we're understanding and knowing that God has already said last generation many times, or 70 years many times. And since he's done that so many times, that we know when he says it is going to happen. And when he said 70 years for Israel, he also added, or 80, but it'll be through their disobedience and pride, and they will go through much trouble. Then we fly away, okay? So we're gonna look at a lot of that tonight. We're gonna read from the book of Enoch tonight. And so we're going to follow our notes as we go along here. The first 70-year prophecy in the Bible, I must let you know, was Adam. Because God told Adam, if you eat of this fruit, you will die. The day you eat of this fruit, you will die. And if you look at it and you see that Adam did not die as soon as he ate the fruit, then someone would say, well, God was wrong. They ate the fruit, and Adam and Eve are still alive. But God said, in the day that you eat of it, you will die. Now, a day unto the Lord is 1,000 years. So Adam did die when he was 930 years old. So he did die in the same day that he ate of the fruit, and he had 70 years left, and he would have lived a whole day, but he did not live to be 1,000. He lived 930, which left 70 years, which also establishes the 70-year generation unto man. So now these punishments begin to be dealt out, and God says this will happen in 70 years, and then God does it. That's the incredible thing, is that he does it. Okay, now we're going to look at three of these, and then maybe even four. And it says the prophecy of Tyre, the destruction that was prophesied to them in 516 BC. And it says the question concerned the prophecy of the 70 years of Isaiah chapter 23, 15 through 17, which predicted that the city of Tyre would be destroyed and forgotten for 70 years. It would return to its previous promiscuous ways. At that time, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, the span of the king's life. So we see that God gave this prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 23, verse 15. But we see also that it was given in 516 BC and in 586 BC, that it the prophecy was completely fulfilled in exactly 70 years. So when God said 70 years, he meant 70 years. And that's what happened with Tyre. Okay. Then if we look in the second 70-year prophecy, because God told Jeremiah, he said, Israel is going into Babylon, and they are going to stay there for how long? For 70 years. So then they went into Babylon in 606 BC, and 537 BC, it was completed, and Daniel began to pray because he knew it was the time for them to leave, and the end of their punishment in Babylon. So Daniel began to pray, and for sure, the prophecy of them being in under Babylonian rule was exactly 70 years. So God did that exactly in what he said he would do. Now to read this third prophecy, I need to go to Matthew chapter 23. So if you will go there with me. Ooh, the book of Revelation is something else. I was reading it today. And that book, it takes you on a pattern, and then it jumps off a pattern and talks about something else. I go, wow, this book. Matthew chapter 23. We have Jesus Christ making a prophecy here. And it starts in chapter 23. And it's, I'm going to start in verse 35. And it says, and so you will, he's talking to the Jews, he says, and so you will come, upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. I tell you the truth, all this will come upon this generation. So he's telling Israel that because of their behavior, because of what they had done in the past, because of how they had treated the prophets, he said, now your punishment is coming. This is going to come upon this generation. What's going to come up? He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as hens gather chicks under their wing, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left desolate. And for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, or Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai. And so he's telling them something is about to happen to your temple. Okay. So now Jesus leaves the temple and he's walking in chapter 24 away, and the disciples come up to him and call his attention to the temple, to the building. Do you see all these things? Jesus says. He says, I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Now, he just said it will happen to you in this generation. So the generation, he's showing you that the generation is remained to be 70 years, because when 70 AD came, the Romans came through and they set up a siege against the place. Then they burned down the temple. And then in keeping with the prophecy of Jesus Christ, they turned over every stone, In the book of Josephus, it said they were commanded to turn over every stone and retrieve every piece of gold that was in the temple. So every stone was turned over, as Jesus had said, and it happened in that generation in 70 AD. So what we have to understand as Christians is God is not just writing a book. He's proving himself by keeping his prophecies so that you can know and understand what he's doing. Because if he's just said 70 years for the last generation and he didn't include 80, this would be done, I guarantee you, because God is not going to break his word. But he said 70 and then it may be 80 because of their pride. And so we're understanding that God keeps his word, and he keeps his word exact, because the temple could have been destroyed, but every stone could have not been turned over. But in keeping with what God said, every stone was turned over, and it happened exactly in 70 AD. That means Jesus Christ prophesied it and it happened. Mm-hmm. Babylon prophesied 70 years, it happened. Tyre prophesied 70 years and it happened. Okay? So now that we are in reading this prophecy, we have to realize that God said that Israel, when Israel is rebirthed, that they would be experiencing the last generation of their day. Okay? And we learned about that in Psalms chapter 48, the 19th book of the Bible, the 48th chapter. And in verse 13, he says, when you see the nation of Israel rebirth, go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, which means the last generation. So Jesus is saying that the rebirth of Israel is the last generation. Okay? Now that we understand that Israel is the last generation, then, of course, we go to Psalms 90, and it says 70 years is a generation unto man, right? But it says 80, but in troubled times, because of their pride and arrogance, it will be 80, and then they'll fly away. Then they fly away, right? So Israel's last generation prophecy is going to have last 80 years. So that makes their last generation ending in 2027, 2028. And I'm saying that because of the 2017 UN and the moving back into the land in 1948. So we know that their 70 years, if it was just 70 years and God didn't say 80, it would be done.
Right.
But since he said 80, now we know Israel turns 70 very soon, coming here, right? And once Israel turns 70, they'll only have 7 years left on what we call the 70th year of Daniel, that last 7 years, okay? And that's the last 7 years according to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ says this will be the last generation. And he's saying, look, if it's going to be 80, that means Israel only has 7 more years left on their 80-year calendar, or their 80-year slot. So this, from once they experience the 70th birthday, now let me tell you, when they experience the 70th birthday, when the church leaves the earth, Israel and the whole world, in God's eyes, because Satan will keep his pagan calendar going, in God's eyes, he's turning the clocks back to 360-day years. And maybe something will happen that everything will be turned back to 360-day years, and they'll have to recognize it because of the seasons. But we know for sure that time is going to be shortened, because it's going to go back to 360-day years. And we're looking at Israel's last 7 years in the balance, and their birthday is coming up very soon, okay? So praise God. And now, let's go to Matthew, be in Matthew chapter 24. Because in Matthew chapter 24, what Jesus is talking about here he gets this question from the apostles. And the question is, when will be the end of time? Okay? And so Jesus is telling them when the end of days is going to be. Everything that's going to happen in as a build-up to it, okay? So as we look at it in chapter 4, it says, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I'm the Christ or claiming I am anointed. Right. That's what a lot of people are doing right now, all on YouTube, claiming that they're Christ or they're anointed. And they will deceive many. Why? Because you're not supposed to be teaching. God didn't call you. So, but there are many coming that will be claiming that I am anointed and will deceive many, many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. Nation will rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, right? So we saw World War I, we saw World War II, okay? Then it says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Now, I'm thinking that they're talking about Holocaust at that time because they were handed over, okay? Or maybe Jesus is pushing right into the tribulation and saying, you're going to be handed over because of my name. I don't know. But I think that what he's talking about here is the Holocaust. And it says, and at that time, many will turn from the faith and will betray and hate each other. So it may be talking about the tribulation, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Tribulation. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Tribulation. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now I know it's a tribulation because the only way you can be saved in the tribulation is to stand firm and keep a testimony for Jesus Christ up until the very end. So I take back that thing about that being a Holocaust. This is all definitely tribulation talk. So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, that's the Antichrist sitting in the temple claiming himself to be God, spoken of through prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee flee to the mountain, because Israel is going to be attacked in the middle of the tribulation. But God is going to open the floodgates. He says Satan is going to pour out a flood of water against Israel. But God is going to open the floodgates and give them a way of escape. OK, so that is what's going to happen in the tribulation. So now Jesus then talked about World War One, World War Two. He's talking about the middle of the tribulation. And then let's go to verse 29. And it says, immediately after the distress, or immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And all the nations of the earth will mourn. Okay? They will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather the elect. That's Israel. Okay? Not the church. Church has been gone. And we'll address that in a minute. And he said, we'll gather the elect from the four corners, for the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now you give dia, or the D and the E in Greek. And he says, now let's talk about another subject. Now learn the lesson of the fig tree. And he says, as soon as you see its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things happen, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So what has to happen before the generation is passed away? He said, first of all, the fig tree generation must happen before the generation passes away. Also, he says, Jesus must come on a cloud in the sky, and all nations must mourn as he gathers his elect. That has to happen inside of the generation. So that means Jesus' second return to the earth happens when? Inside of the last generation. So then he talks about the fig tree, and now he's going to talk about the rapture. And then the rapture is going to happen what? Before the end of the generation. So before that 80 years is gone, not only does rapture have to happen, but also the second coming of Jesus Christ has to happen. He must come on the cloud and rescue the nation of Israel before the 80th year is over. So within this next 7 years, we're going to see the rapture, the tribulation, the middle of the tribulation, and the return of Jesus Christ before the next 7 years. So that is what Jesus Christ is prophesying here. He's saying this generation will not pass until all these things happen. The middle of the tribulation, all these things must happen before the generation. So we know that the middle of the tribulation is 3.5 years, then the next is 3.5, and then the end of the 7, Jesus comes in a cloud. And now once he comes in a cloud and he lands on the earth and he rescues Israel, now the generation qualifies to be over with, but will not until Jesus comes on a cloud. So all of that must happen within the next 7 years, and Israel's birthday is going to be very soon. This is why
they'll be 73, right?
Yeah, they'll be 73 years old. So this is why I'm trying to tell people, listen, don't worry about the rapture. Is a done deal. It's already scheduled. Mm-hmm. Worry about what am I doing and making sure that I'm ready, because being ready is the most important thing. So don't worry about whether it's happening. Is it going to happen or not? It's going to happen, okay? Unless the word of God is broken, which it can't be, it's going to happen. So the thing is, you want to be ready when it happens, okay? And it's going to happen within this generation. So let me see any time now. Okay. Remember in May 14th of 2019, everybody was going, the whole year passed and May 14th came in Israel and there was no rapture. 70 years is over. We're done. No, we're not done, because we didn't read the N80, because we didn't want to read it, because that's how rapture people are. That's how rapture people are. It's like, hey, you know, well, we don't want to read about anything extra. A month from now, if you say it's happening tomorrow, or I say, or a month, everybody, no, it's going to be tomorrow. Yeah. So that's just the way we are. Okay, let's go to the second page.
Pastor, when are they 73?
On IR 5th. And please do not send, there's this guy named Dr. Rude, Michael Rude, the guy, all these calendars. As soon as I give it a date, so somebody has 20 other calendars that says, no, it happened like this, it happened like that. And Israel has a birth date that they celebrate every year since 1948, IR 5th, or between IR 5th and IR 6th, okay? Now he's saying, oh, no, it was on Pentecost. And no, it's IR 5th, IR 6th. Let's stick with the scriptures, okay? I will explain to you why they add a 13th month every now and then periodically, because we're on a sun calendar, a solar calendar of 365 days. They are still on a moon calendar. They start their month when the moon cycles. So their moon cycle causes them to have to add another month to stay in line, so that their spring and their fall and their seasons don't get thrown off course. Okay, so Let's just look at Israel's birthday when they celebrate it, okay? And then we'll look at that. Okay. I want to read to you guys something. Okay?
What page are you on?
I'm not on any page yet, but I will be on a page pretty soon. It says, according to the scripture, 3000 BC, yeah, that's one, 3000 BC, fallen watchers, angels, were bound in chains and cast into hell. For God did not spare even the angels who sinned. It also tells us that in the book of Enoch, that the same angels found in Jude 1 and in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, were bound for a period of, 70 generations, okay? So they were bound for 70 generations, and that 70 generations is 70 times 70, okay? Which is 490 years. So from that time that they said it, 490 years more is going to pass, and then these angels are going to be released. So here, let's go to, wait a minute, let's not go there yet. Okay. I'm going to read from the book of Enoch for a second, okay? Now watch this. In the book of Enoch, I really want to explain this to you well. The time that these angels were bound is very important because God gives a specific time that they are going to be bound in the earth, okay? And he says 70 generations. That means 70 times 7. 490 years these angels have been bound, okay? And here it is in the book of Enoch, and it says, and to Gabriel says the Lord, and I'm in chapter 10.
Wait a minute. Pastor, you mean 4,900 years?
4,900 years. I hope that's what I said, right?
No, you said 490.
Oh yeah, 4,900 years. Okay, so I'm in chapter 10 of Enoch, and then this is what it says. Then said the Most High, the Holy and Great One, who sent Uriel the son of Lamech, right? Lamech is going to be the father of Enoch, okay? He says, go to Noah. He's telling Lamech, go to Noah. That means Noah's already born, okay? And tell him, in my name, hide yourself and reveal to him the end that is coming. That the whole earth will be destroyed, and deluge is about to come upon the whole earth and will destroy all that is on it. And now instruct him that he may escape and his seeds may be preserved for all generations of the world. I'm going to go down to verse 9. And to Gabriel said the Lord, proceed against the BASTARDS. You guys know that word? I got a whipping, so I just spell it now. You a grown man. I'm still here to see it. Mom might be behind me. And it says against them and the reprobates and against their children of fornication and destroy the children of fornication. Even the children of the watchers from amongst men, and cause them to go forth and send them one against another, that they may destroy each other in battle. For the length of days they shall not have. It says, and then God says, and no request that they or their fathers make shall be granted unto their fathers on their behalf, for they hope to live eternal lives, And that each one of them will live 500 years. The Lord said to Michael, go and bind up Samaria and his associates who have united themselves with women so as to have defiled themselves with them in their uncleanness. And when the sons have slain one another and they have seen the destruction of their beloved one, bind them fast for 70 generations in the valleys of the earth till the days of judgment and of their consummation, till the judgment that is forever and ever is consummated. In those days, they shall be led off to the abyss of fire and torment and prison in which they shall be confined forever. I like reading that part just in case they're listening. Okay, so these angels are being instructed, the Gabriel is instructing them to bind these angels up for 70 generations. I'm going to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 9. When you get there, say amen. Mr. Greg is here. How you doing, Greg?
Good, Pastor.
Good. Doing good. Okay, so now here we go. Revelation chapter 9. I'm going to start reading verse 13. It says, the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horn of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates, and the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour, day, and month, and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million, and I heard their numbers. Okay? So, it says, go and release these angels that have been bound. And it says, because they've been locked there for this specific hour, this specific day, and this specific month, and this specific year. So God knows exactly how much time he said to lock them up. 70 times 7 is 4,900 years. And so now, I know, because if you go to, do we have the page, the last page? Yeah, which is the 6,000 year count. Do I have that?
Yep.
Okay.
Last page.
So now I know for a fact that since the world is on 6,000 years and we're like 6,003 right now, that this direction to lock these angels up had to happen after Enoch was born. I mean, after Noah was born, right? Because he tells Lamech to go and talk to Noah. So Lamech to Noah was 187 years. So I'm looking at the whole world being about 1,110 years old at the time of the instruction. And I'm looking further into that. Someone else is sure of it, but I'm not sure, so I'm not going to say. But that the exact time that God locked them up to 2028 is the end of the 4,900 years. So God knows exactly what time it is. He knows exactly that Israel is going to be 73. He knows exactly that there are 7 years left that is on a prophecy that Christ gave that says this will be the last generation. So for the church to panic and say, oh, when is the rapture? And when is the rapture? Oh, I don't know if it's going to happen. Or I'm going to walk away from the church because I don't know about the rapture now. And we've been talking about it too long. We've got to stay on God's schedule, okay? And God's schedule is, first of all, Every resurrection has a season, a time and a season, meaning that the Old Testament saints weren't going to get raptured in the fall because their time to get raptured was in the Feast of Weeks. So right after Christ resurrected, then they were resurrected. Now, see, if you guys go listening to Michael Rood, he's going to say, oh, no, this Old Testament saints that went up, they were the first fruit offering that went up to heaven. The Bible does not say that the Old Testament saints was the first fruit offering. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the first fruit offering. So after the first fruit, then you get the harvest. So after Jesus is the first fruit, then they came out of the grave and they became the barley harvest. Mm-hmm. And they went up. So now it makes sense that when you get to Matthew chapter 13, John is saying that Jesus Christ is the one who's going to gather his wheat into the barn, and that there are tares sown among the wheat. So now we know that a wheat harvest is coming. And since this wheat harvest is coming, we know that the second resurrection, because Corinthians says each resurrection has to happen, but each has to happen in its own turn. God establishes the turns in Deuteronomy 16, because he says first fruits, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then that was the barley harvest. He says after that, the next time you will come will be during the Feast of Weeks, which is Shavuot. Okay, so you come, or Pentecost. So the next harvest time, meaning our turn, is Shavuot, Pentecost. The next harvest time after that, he says, then you will come and present yourself at Tabernacle. Then the fruit harvest will be, and then you read Revelation and you'll see that the fruit harvest is leaving in the fall. So it's already structured. It's already there. So I have to get back to the reason why I'm giving you this, because there is a great panic in the world over what's going on. And it should not be a panic for the church. Our thing should be, we only have a short time. We need to be talking to people about getting saved, because Israel's birthday is coming up and they'll be 73. We need to be talking to people about Jesus Christ and getting saved, not going and saying the rapture's coming, you better believe in Jesus. That's not the gospel. That will not get me saved.
Right.
Okay, you got to explain to me that I am a sinner, and because of my sin I have judgment coming upon me. Mm-hmm. And because of the judgment that is coming upon me, Jesus Christ did an absolute wonderful thing by dying on the cross for me, so that I don't have to suffer the punishment of his judgment. Yeah. So you have to preach to them the gospel. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin. All you have to do is confess him and repent of your sins and come to him, and you will be saved from what is about to happen.
Yes.
And so that's what the Lord's telling me. The Lord said, tell them, all I want to do is save your life. That's all I want to do.
Yes.
Okay? I'm not trying to make you perfect overnight. That's not what I'm trying to do. Jesus says, tell them, all I want to do is save your life. That's all I want to do. I just want you to come to Christ so that you can live, or you can determine that you want to live through the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Because it's close.
Right.
You can determine that you want to go through tribulation. You can determine that you would rather not leave with the church and repent and accept Christ. But that will be your choice. But he wants you to know, all he wants to do is save your life, to keep you from what's coming. But if you don't want to be saved from what's coming, then what can we do? And so the Lord really just wants me to express upon the church and the world upon the church first. Don't give up on people that that you're reaching out to about Christ. I know they get on your nerves. I know that they say the same thing every time. And the Lord is like to let you know that don't let your prayers precede your speech. Mm-hmm. Don't go preaching. Let your prayers precede your speech.
Right.
Because the heart or the if you just throw seeds in the ground, they're just going to be the soil is not broken up. So it's just going to bounce off a hard soil. But if you till the ground first, and that's your prayers, till the ground first, then now you can drop the seeds into a softer ground that will be more susceptible to taking it in, taking forth the growth. But God says to make sure that you proceed in prayer before you proceed in your, you need Jesus or if you're going to die. Yeah, it was like, oh, thank you for the seed. Bounce right off me, right?
5 minutes.
Okay.
Man, that's true.
And I just wanted to go back to Judges, to the book of Judges. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to tell you guys what's going to happen tomorrow. The 20th year, there was a judgment that went out throughout the whole world, meaning that the whole world was under stress, okay? Same as the flood, the whole world was under stress. And in 2020, which was 120 a year, in keeping with the way God does things, the whole world had to be under stress. And so the whole world was under stress. The 21st year is what God wants me to look at for you guys tomorrow. And the 21st year, you'll find, is the book of Ecclesiastes, is the book of John, and is the book of Jude. So you got three books that are 21st books, because this, the 21st year is called the year of El Shaddai. This is the called the year of the grinding of the judgment, okay? So this year in the 21st, as the shin represents the teeth and the judgment of grinding, the all the 21st books are going to talk about the main thing that's going to happen in that 21st year. Then also God wants me to take you back to Psalms 121, and God makes a promise in Psalms 121 that says this is the year it happens. This is the year when everything changes. So we're going to look at all of that tomorrow, and make sure you go through your notes tonight, and we're going to go through the prophecy of Shin, which is the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each 21st book talking about what God is going to do in the 21st year, which is where we're at now. God bless.
Amen.
All right.